It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. Here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, a big Monday episode of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not perpetuating a hoax about a bloodbath. No, ma'am, the media is.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Are they ever? And we will go to minimal lengths to illustrate said fact in this hour. The champ is fired up. It's Monday. I should be in a great mood. I got a lot of rest, but
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I'm a man. It's going to be a chippy one. We are packing the foil and getting ready to play some old-style hockey.
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
888-788-9910 if you want a part of the show today. Also the phone number if you don't want a part of the show. We don't care. We're taking on all comers. It's an audio safe space for cool people. We say it every day. I am a conservative, unapologetically so, but I don't do a conservative talk show. I do an American talk show.
Freedom!
Which means you can agree, disagree, or anything in between. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. You could be an independent. You could be a libertarian. You could be a member of the Whig Party. We don't care. Just don't be a... There it is. Because Lord knows if you look around the landscape in this country right now, we got a lot of... So to that, I say happy Monday. If you watched Fox News Saturday night over the weekend, thank you. We had a fantastic time. Sean Hannity was on the show. O's the Mentalist. There was some footage of me down at spring break at 2 in the morning, and woo-hoo.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life,
well,
son.
To be clear, those people were skinny, drunk, and stupid, and they were having a fabulous time. The only one fat, drunk, and stupid was me. But I had a damn good time, everybody there was phenomenal. Tonight, if you're watching Failavision, we're getting the band back together with our lovable comedy dwarf, Greg Gutfeld. I'll be on the Gutfeld Show tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Fox News Channel. People are excited, none more than the Gutfeld staff, who obviously going to get a little bit of a ratings bounce from having the more talented host on the show.
That's true. That is true.
Oh, we're talking smack. Why? Because we got to go right in on this Monday episode. There's a lot happening, and I don't doubt that we'll get to this right away on the Gutfeld show. So Trump over the weekend is speaking in Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, Ohio, a place near and dear to my heart. Why? Because many people are listening to this on WHIO. Shout out to Nick Roberts and the whole, the whole crew at HIO. As you guys know, if you're a fan of me and my journey, I am married into that area. Jenny Failla grew up the road on Route 75 in nearby Wapakoneta, Ohio, home of Neil Armstrong. We've got a ton of family down there in the Dayton area. I have a couple of nieces and nephews down there, and we go visit them quite frequently. We spend some time down at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and we go do some fancy shopping out there at your outdoor mall. We know all about Dayton, and we love Dayton. So Trump is down in Dayton over the weekend, and he makes a comment about the auto industry, specifically the fact that China is opening up big factories, trying to get our manufacturers to outsource production to Mexico, something we know is going on, okay?
That is correct.
Straight up. And Trump basically says, hey, you're going to try to kill American jobs. I'm going to slap a 100% tariff on every car coming back into America from Mexico. Pretty aggressive stance to take from an economic standpoint. That being said, these are the lengths you go to demonstrate to other corners of the world that you're serious about protecting American jobs. Now, in the course of the clip I'm about to play you, it is 1 minute long. Trump says, I'm going to protect these jobs. I'm going to impose a tariff. I'm going to send a strong message. But if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. For the auto industry, you're going to lose all kinds of jobs. They're going to outsource all kinds of production. We're all going to be screwed. Of this 1 minute clip I'm about to play you, the media has been sharing about 10 seconds of it. Why are they framing it in a 10 second context? Because if you eliminate all of the context around what he said, you might be able to claim this is a far more menacing clip than it is. That being said, the term bloodbath is not unique to Donald Trump. It is not specific to Donald Trump. So just to give everybody a refresher course, okay, here is the media, okay, doing exactly, okay, what they now claim Donald Trump did, which is use the word bloodbath, which can only mean violence. Here's the media. Here it is, clip 10.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies
as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath. Bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats,
a bloodbath at the ballot box.
So that's 100 instances where the media described an election outcome, a primary outcome, the takeover of the RNC, Nikki Haley leaving New Hampshire, Joe Biden running against Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden said it was going to be a bloodbath in the Sanders campaign.
I don't remember that ever happening.
Yet Biden and his campaign this time around went right to work trying to frame the remarks I'm about to play you. This is who Donald Trump is. A loser who got beat by over 7 million votes and then, instead of appealing to a wider mainstream audience, doubles down on his threats of political violence. He wants another January 6th, but the American people are going to give him another electoral defeat this November because they continue to reject his extremism, his affection for violence, and his thirst for revenge. Why is Biden taking a term that he frequently uses, bloodbath, and trying to pin it on Trump as an act of call to appeal to violence?
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
Biden is getting his ass handed to him in every single poll. So here is the entirety of the Trump clip. I just want you to hear it. I'm not a Trump surrogate. I don't care who you vote for. I'm doing an American talk show. When people tell you our democracy is damaged, our institutions are threatened, it's because they're the ones doing it. You want to know why we're so politically divided? Over 200 mainstream media sources printed articles yesterday saying Trump is calling for a bloodbath. But that's what they printed. And most people just read the headlines. Their emotions are their facts. And they go, oh, wow, Trump said if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath. That's violence. You can't threaten us like that. Except he didn't. All I want is an honest conversation, and you're not going to get one dealing with the mainstream media. So here's the entirety of Trump's clip, clip one.
You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line. And you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
You understand? He's talking about the auto industry.
Bingo.
Here's the reaction from the media. Woo! This is great. Let's go right in. Here is Mary Bruce just opening World News Tonight with claims that Trump just called for another January 6th. Clip 5.
We begin tonight with the race for the White House and former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. President Biden's campaign swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence.
You are so full of sh**.
I mean, seriously.
Garbage like you just makes me sick.
Guys, I just played you the full context of what he said. Okay, China is trying to steal American jobs and then sell us back cars manufactured in Mexico. Okay, I'm going to slap a tariff. I'm not going to let it happen. Listen up, China. Now, if I don't win, there's going to be a bloodbath because they're going to go the other way and Biden's going to let them get away with it. He's clearly making an economic case about cars, but the media runs with it anyway. This is who they are. Okay, there's so many examples of this throughout the course of Trump's time in the public eye as a politician. Remember, okay, they got behind Joe Biden's campaign because of the fine people on both sides argument in Charlottesville. They said, well, Donald Trump never condemned neo-Nazis and white nationalists in Charlottesville.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
Whoa, wait, what's going on here? I don't understand. They told me that Trump never condemned them.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
But do you see how disgustingly shameless this is? Okay, there's more. Here's Jen Psaki. Okay, Jen Psaki, if you remember, okay, was the former White House press secretary.
Psaki sucks. Kaylee was so much better.
A lot of people feel that way, but here is Psaki trying to reframe Trump's remarks. Clip six.
The Trump team quickly said last night, nothing to see here. He was just talking about the auto industry. Consider the full context, everyone. Otherwise, it's irresponsible. Well, if they want us to consider the full context, let's do just that.
So embarrassing.
Because the full context is that Trump kicked off the same exact rally by saluting the people who were convicted for the deadly assault on the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, all to the tune of the national anthem sung by a choir of imprisoned insurrectionists. The full context is that some of the first words out of Trump's mouth last night, same rally, were thanking those rioters and calling them patriots. The full context is that he also said in this same rally, quote, if this election isn't won, I'm not sure that you'll ever have another election in this country. The full context is that he went on to say some undocumented immigrants are, quote, not people. And of course, the full context is that this is much bigger than one single speech. So no, we did not miss the full context. This was not some meandering off-message comment. This is his message.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, seriously, Jen Psaki.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
I mean, let's be clear. Let's call some balls and strikes. Trump opening a rally with a salute to the January 6th terrorists is dumb.
This guy will say anything.
Of course it's dumb. It is dumb. He's kind of gone on the offense. He does a lot of what the Democrats do, turn weakness into strength, or at least attempt to. Remember when Biden had the most disastrous Afghan troop withdrawal ever? He took the troops out ahead of the civilians. But then after the country collapsed and people were fleeing for their lives, he got on TV with a straight face and was like, it was a smashing success.
This is politics as usual.
That's what they do. They try to sell defeats as victories. Okay, but understand, while Trump's opening to the rally is not good, I don't, you know, commend that in any way. Okay, what Jen Psaki is doing is lying because she's trying to change the meaning of what he was talking about. Okay, what he was talking about was very specifically the auto industry. They're distorting his message. Why are they distorting his message? Because they're losing in every single swing state poll. Okay, they had a president over the weekend who got lost leaving the stage at an event again and looked like he had never seen an umbrella before, like it was some type of a drone that was flown in from an enemy combatant. Okay, Biden is a mess. He's a mess in real life. He's a mess in the polls. They're having a hard time making a case for him. So why do they start to scuff the ball is the point. And I use that analogy because of the movie Major League. There's a great scene in the movie Major League where Charlie Sheen, the wild thing, the young pitcher, the big arm, is talking to the veteran pitcher about scuffing the ball. And he goes to the old man. He goes, you put snot on the ball? And the guy goes, yeah. Exactly. Charlie Sheen looks at him like, wait, what? He goes, you put snot on the ball? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I don't have an arm like yours, kid. I got to try whatever I can. Okay, that's where the media is in trying to make the case for Joe Biden. Okay, there's no appeal. The guy's pulling in the 30s. You think about that. Getting hit in the nuts by a rubber mallet is currently more popular than Joe Biden is.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
I mean, I don't know that that's an accurate poll. But the point is, the guy's historically unpopular. He's losing all the swing states. So the media's out there lighting the country on fire by putting snot on the ball. Unfortunately, the ump called this one fair. And now they look like a bunch of idiots.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
You're riding around with America's cabbie.
Taxi! Taxi!
You're hanging out with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts, might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T testosterone booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're having a grown-up talk at 888-788-9910. There's a media effort being made to claim Donald Trump called for a bloodbath if he wasn't elected president. We've played the full context of the clip. We will play it again. He is clearly over and over and over again, specifically referring to the auto industry. Just to give you, let me give you clip two here.
We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
So he's talking about the tariff if I get elected. If I don't get elected, obviously no tariff. It's going to be an economic bloodbath for the country. Here is the Biden campaign, Quentin Folks, putting on the full makeup, the big red nose, the large shoes, straight clown stuff. Here it is, clip 14.
No, this is exactly who Donald Trump is. We saw him call on his supporters to storm the Capitol 4 years ago, and he's doubling down, promoting violence this time around. And this is just right out of the playbook. Trump is weak and deeply insecure about this election, and he's only in it for himself. Our campaign has been saying this for months, and Trump is saying the quiet part out loud. And the people who are saying that his comments were taken out of context haven't said anything about all the other things that Trump has done, all the other times that he's incited political violence. And so, no, it wasn't taken out of context at all. This is who Donald Trump is, and America needs to stand up and listen to him.
I mean, dude, come on.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
First of all, okay, did Trump call on his supporters to storm the Capitol?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. Go down there, peacefully protest, let your voices be heard. Those were the verbatim words.
Correctamundo.
When he says, they haven't said anything about all the other times that Trump has incited political violence. Can anyone name another time? No, you can't.
I think he's got a point.
There is no other time. Here's a newsflash. Trump is being charged. He's indicted 91 times, okay, for things nobody's ever been indicted for in the history of all mankind. Trump is being convicted in a civil court of financial fraud. when no bank is alleging victimhood, meaning there's a crime but no victim. Every bank he did business with will still continue to do business with him. They seek him out for further business deals. Yet Letitia James and the Democrats want you to believe there was some kind of a fraud perpetrated. It's a scam. But the point is, these people, their emotions are their facts. When they say Trump's incited violence, think of all the other times. The only problem is they can't name any other times. So when he says, oh, Trump's so weak and deeply insecure about the election, he's not wrong to say a president is weak and insecure about the election. But the president is the one doing this. Joe Biden.
You are correct, sir.
You are supportive of law enforcement on a heroic level. That being said, my question for you is, which Fox News talent would make the best cop?
Oh, man. there's a lot of them. Probably Greg Gutfeld.
Stop it. But he couldn't drive.
Gutfeld.
But he couldn't drive and reach the pedals.
Gutfeld.
Oh, no. That is Sean Hannity on Fox News Saturday night. Shout out to him. But I did have to throw his challenge flag at the idea that Gutfeld would make the best cop of everybody who works at Fox News. I mean, don't get me wrong. He knows where to find drugs. He knows where a lot of the street crime is being committed. But to my point, okay, you can't have Gutfeld drive a cop car if he can't reach the pedals.
He knows what he's talking about.
That might come up on the show. I am on Gutfeld tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the Fox News Channel. But joining us now for his customary Monday review of my TV show, Fox News Saturday Night, Michael is on the line in Greenville, Texas. Michael.
Just another manic Monday, buddy.
Hey, girl. I'll tell me about it. Whoa. So here's the big news, Michael. I'm still employed after having Hannity on, the most powerful man in media. That matters.
That is exactly right. Riding high now that you're still employed after Sean Hannity's appearance on your show Saturday night. Well done. Good job.
No, we were nervous. I caught Jenny online looking at houses in Columbus, Ohio. On Saturday afternoon. I was like, thanks for the vote of confidence, hun. But here we are.
Well, you do have the QP burgers there going for you, so you got that. So look, we started off with your appearance on Sean's show Friday night, which was great, talking about the story of replacing Easter eggs with potatoes. I mean, come on, man.
I know. I'm like, don't they have enough vegetables in this White House? Anyway.
Exactly. Then we roll into the Saturday night keg party with a mentalist. What? A mentalist. Then the golf course or rehab game. Oh, my gosh. How good was that?
Nuts.
And most importantly, drunk co-eds on spring break in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It was a laugh fest start to finish, but those girls were really hammered.
Weren't they bombed? So, Michael, I filmed that at 2 in the morning after my show in Fort Lauderdale last week, and they were hammered. Like, those were the people I could show. They were people I just couldn't show because they were too drunk and we didn't want to embarrass them. Like, so that was that's what we could show. Like, we should get an unedited version and just go show it to you guys. But I'm telling you, man, wow. That's all I will say is wow.
My blood alcohol content went up just watching it. Holy cow.
Yeah, you better pull over.
In Sean's appearance on your show, we learned that he had a paper route.
Yep.
He was a dishwasher. He sings karaoke.
Yep.
And once sang The Devil Went Down to Georgia with Charlie Daniels on stage. Who knew?
Yep.
Holy cow.
They open up to Jimmy Fallon. When they come on the show, they open up. It's a cable news keg party. People get loose. You get it, Michael.
Yeah. But what I loved the most, my man, was how you made Sean laugh. Oh. He rarely even smiles, much less laugh on his show, and you had him repeatedly laughing. Listen. And I love that. I love seeing him laugh.
Yeah,
it was a good
look. I definitely owe my drug dealer a raise. Definitely, he gave me the good stuff.
Oh, and one last thing, we also learned your picks for the best pizza, the best steaks, and the best deli in the city. And I'm not going to say it out loud. I want them to go watch your your show to get your Food Network review on pick for the best places
well,
to eat.
Well done, Michael. I mean it. I mean it. When this next contract is up, I'm signing with you. I'm going to let you represent me here at Fox just to laugh. That would be great. You're the best.
It was great, buddy. It just better and better every week. Keep up the good work.
You too, my man. We'll see you soon. The great Michael. There he goes. We always love Michael's Monday review of the TV show because it's accurate. Okay, if you aren't watching this show, you're an abject crazy person. It airs at 10 o'clock Eastern on Saturday nights. It re-airs at 5 o'clock Eastern on the Fox News Channel on Sundays. It's a full hour of my fat mug on TV having a good time, but it's apolitical. You know, we book a lot of liberals. We have a good time. We're not really talking politics on the show because you get enough of it during the week, and it's just so contentious. Like what they're doing with Donald Trump and the bloodbath comment right now.
This is absolutely gross.
Oh, God, it's disgusting. But this is why people hate politics. So let me give you a little bit of a refresher on where we find ourselves, because I have to play you a clip from Joe Scarborough.
This guy's a serious ass.
So yesterday on Twitter, Joe Scarborough goes out while the media is running with this claim that Donald Trump said if he loses, there's going to be a violent bloodbath.
That is a fact check false.
It's not even remotely close to true. Like, I've played the soundbite twice now in full context. He's specifically talking about the auto industry, the tariffs he's going to place on Chinese vehicles built in Mexico to steal American jobs, and says that's if I win. Okay, if I lose, going to be a bloodbath, but they're not going to be able to sell those cars if I win. That's the claim. He's talking about cars. The media runs out, and they're like, he wanted violence.
Not even close.
Joe Scarborough seemed to know that yesterday morning. Why do I say that? Because yesterday morning, Joe Biden tweeted about Trump and then deleted it because Elon Musk called him out as a liar. This is it. I'll tell you right now. Are you ready for it? Joe Scarborough tweeted yesterday, okay, a picture of the January 6th events at the Capitol and wrote, this is the quote, Trump's America and he's proud. Trump promises bloodbath if he loses again.
Shut up, fool!
Because he didn't say that. Elon Musk called him out and said, this is untrue. Elon Musk replied, said, this is untrue, at which point Joe Scarborough deleted the tweet. Deleted the tweet because he knew when confronted with fact by Elon Musk, who owns Twitter, so he has a big voice, a big presence on the platform, he knew his tweet couldn't stand up to scrutiny on Twitter, where free speech is allowed. So what did he do? And this is why, people, you couldn't hate the media enough. Okay, really, though, this is so shameless. So he deletes the tweet on Twitter, okay, where he knows there's community notes, where he knows there's factual pushback, but he runs to MSNBC this morning, and he makes the statement again and stands by it.
You cannot be serious!
Oh, I'm serious. He deleted it on Twitter. Does not exist. Go look for it. Says the content you're looking for does not exist. He deleted it. But then he goes on his show where he knows there won't be pushback, where he knows there won't be an honest conversation, and says, you're just stupid to believe that Trump was talking about the auto industry when he said there was going to be a bloodbath. You're stupid to believe it just because he was talking about the auto industry, just because he only talked about the auto industry, still means you're stupid to believe it. Okay, if you believe it. Are you following this?
You don't have a clue.
No, he has a clue. He just doesn't have any self-respect. Here it is, clip 13.
Even if you take that argument at face value, which, again, given the tone of the rest of the speech, bloodbath, I'm not so sure he's talking about the niceties of international trade there. But let's just take that argument as is. Then he goes on and he says, that's going to be the least of it, and repeats it. It's going to be the least of it. Obviously, he's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows going, well, our presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry, and this is one more. It's just bull. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bull. He knew what he was doing We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
Oh, shut up, woman.
I mean, seriously, when you think, Joe, these people may be stupid, but we're not stupid. Yo, you are beyond stupid. Your words I can no longer use on the air because they're considered offensive. Man, we're living in the death of shame. We're living in the death. Like, he doesn't know shame. He's willing to get in front. Now, he deleted the tweet yesterday because he knew, confronted with the context of the speech, it didn't hold up. His claim didn't hold up. Trump is not calling for violence. Trump has never called for violence. Here's a newsflash. Guy's been indicted for 91 different things, okay? None of which is calling for violence.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, if Trump had incited violence, Trump would be charged for violence. The reason the ballot initiative failed to remove him from the ballot is because they claimed he engaged in insurrection. They said anyone who's engaged in an insurrection is not fit to lead the government. Ergo, we can take them off the ballot. Now, that is technically true, except for one small problem. He was never charged with insurrection. If they had the ability to charge him, they would have charged him. Okay? They didn't. They couldn't because it didn't happen. So when Joe Scarborough gets on TV, and again, they're just selling self-righteousness to self-hating white people. That's who watches MSNBC. Rich liberals on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Rich white liberals in the Beltway that feel some sort of guilt. Okay, white guilt out in California, coastal elites that want to be told they know better than you. Oh, you see these stupid people in the flyover states? They're too stupid to know that when Trump talked about the auto industry the whole time, he was actually talking about something else. But they're too stupid to know that. That's how they look at you, because they don't have self-awareness. And because they hate themselves and they run on such vicious self-righteousness, they always need to be peddling some type of a moral superiority so they can turn on the TV every day for their well-dressed group therapy session to be told, thank God we're not as dumb as those people. So Joe Scarborough, you heard his clip, says Donald Trump was not talking about the auto industry. Come on, you can't be serious. We're not stupid. He wasn't talking about the auto industry. That's what he said, right? So here's the Trump clip one more time. Try and see if you can hazard a guess as to what industry he was talking about. Clip one.
You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
And that's Joe Scarborough saying with a straight face, he wasn't talking about the auto industry. He was talking about something else. I'm telling you this. It's like they banned circuses because they were like, you know, I don't know. They're punching the elephants. It's not nice. I don't know. They did. They banned circuses. The circuses don't happen anymore on the level that they used to. So all the clowns have had to go in other directions in pursuit of work. And apparently there's a lot of people getting hired over at MSNBC.
And I'm out here in the real world and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
The show not afraid to call out both sides of the aisle.
He's the other side's worst nightmare.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. One more note, maybe an exclamation point, some punctuation, as the kids like to say. I am, in fact, a best-selling author of Cancel Culture Dictionary. It is still available wherever fine books are sold. If you go to Walmart, buy one in person, you might get an autographed copy. Whenever I'm on the road, I go into Walmart and I sign the book if I see it on the shelf, mainly because Walmart, they're the only people who won't, like, tase me and have me arrested. I tried that in the bookstore here in New York, and I'm not even kidding. I was like, hey, I'm the guy on the cover of the book. It's not a big deal. And
he should be behind bars.
They wanted me dead. but if you're in a Walmart, I have signed them in Idaho Falls. I've signed them in Sacramento. I signed them all over Florida last weekend. And make no mistake about it, when we get back out on the road next week, we're in Helena, Montana, Friday night, March 29th. And then we will, of course, be in Spokane, Washington, Saturday, March 30th. I will hit every local Walmart, sign my book. It's just a funny thing to do because you can go buy them like it's a scavenger hunt. And I always put my medallion number on there for my New York City taxi. So, you know, it's actually me and not like some copycat or something. Not that anybody would want to impersonate me. I am a mess. I mean, good God, have you seen me?
When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
Thank you. Well, Susan Glazer. Okay, she's on This Week ABC. Okay, another channel that led with the claim that Donald Trump called for a bloodbath if he loses. We know it's not true. But here she is anyway, talking about how we've become desensitized to Trump's words and people are overlooking the dangerous rhetoric. Here it is, clip 7.
Susan, you had a piece this week about how people aren't really listening at this point to Donald Trump. You heard one of those voters saying things are different. This is a different campaign than 2020, a different Donald Trump. We obviously heard what he said last night.
Yeah, I mean, look, Donald Trump, it seems to me, it's very hard 8 years into this. We still struggle with how to cover him as journalists. But in a way, the unhinged, rambling rants that you see from the former president of the United States are baked in. And I think in a way, we are all desensitized and inured to the extraordinary, remarkable, and very, at times, un-American and threatening things that the former president is saying. I'm not saying it's easy to understand how to cover it, but I think we have to cover it. When the former president, who's already incited violence among his followers, says that there's going to be a bloodbath what after the election, if he does not win, he is telling us what he is going to do.
That is a lie.
Okay, for real. I'll say it again.
That is a lie.
Okay, Trump did not tell an audience what he was going to do. But there's a key clip, and it's the reason I wanted you to hear this. Okay, is she tries to make the claim we've become desensitized to Trump's rhetoric over the years. What people have actually become desensitized to is the media, because they know the media is distorting things and lying to them. Okay, the media could have gotten away with this 10 years ago. If Trump made the exact same remark he made yesterday, the media could have hyper-contextualized it and said, Trump called for a bloodbath, and people would have run with it. People would have believed them because the media had credibility back then. The problem now is, we've had every lie known to man, okay? The media claimed that Trump called all Mexicans drug dealers and rapists. That's what he said.
You're not telling me the truth.
Yeah, they weren't telling the truth. The media claimed he said they were, he never condemned neo-Nazis and white nationalists in Charlottesville.
That is a fact check false.
Not true, okay? The media claimed he slandered dead veterans. The media claimed Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. The media claimed he colluded with Russia.
It was made up by these sick people.
Point being, okay, we're not desensitized to Trump. We're just done listening to the media.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. And here we go. Back in action. Big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. Joe Concha is stopping by in this hour to talk about the media, or what's left of them anyway.
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
Activists masquerading as journalists. That's the plague on our country in this moment. Why? Because the media is supposed to hold people in power accountable, but they're not doing that in this moment.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
888-788-9910 if you agree with my son Lincoln soundbite. Also the phone number if you disagree. This is an American talk show. Everyone's welcome.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
Okay, it is just a straight stampede of stupidity out there in the world right now. And what I represent is a former New York City cab driver. It's got his little radio show and his little old TV show. It's just a guy that'll be honest with you. I don't need you to agree with me. I'm just giving you my honest opinion. My honest opinion is all I'm actually giving you. Okay, my honest opinion in this moment, when I look around at the state of the country, my honest opinion is...
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
Country's a joke right now, man. It's really bad leadership in Washington. You know, the border's completely overrun. We've had 10 million people cross the border. Conservative estimates, 10 million people, when you count known gotaways, that are just here in the country. We don't know where they are.
That can't be good.
Okay, that's one of the key concerns right now, is there was a fella apprehended over the weekend at the southern border who is a Hezbollah terrorist who said he wanted to make a bomb and was headed to New York City.
This could be a problem.
That's a real story. Okay, we're going to talk about it in this hour. Do you understand those people exist around the world? They hate us. Remember September 11th? We were supposed to never forget. Okay, we forgot. Okay, we forgot. We're a lot closer, as Dana Perino has said on my show, we're a lot closer to September 10th than we are to September 11th. September 10th being the night we went to bed ignorant to the fact that people on the other side of the world wanted to topple this place. Okay, they hate us now more than they ever have. But we are completely derelict in our duty to secure our southern border. Paul Morrill, somebody you've heard on the show quite a bit, who was running the Joint Task Force here at the NYPD, okay, and the Department of Homeland Security, famously said on this show, he said, hey, man, he said in September 11th, okay, and a year after, 2 years after, 4 years after, 8 years after, if we found a guy at the southern border that wasn't from a landlocked nation with the United States of America, it became an all hands on deck moment. Because people coming here from the, you know, southern countries attempting to get into our country is not new. But people coming here from the other parts of the world that don't share our values and want to kill us all is a red flag. So if we met one guy from Yemen, one guy from Afghanistan, one guy, okay, from Iran, one guy, it was an all hands on deck moment. Now we're told there's hundreds of thousands of guys. And the Biden administration continues to leave the border open.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
But when you talk about that stampede of stupidity, those people in the media derelict in their duty to give us an informed conversation. Here's a guy, Michael Steele. I wanted to play you this clip really quick. He's over on MSNBC. Michael Steele used to be the head of the RNC, the Republican Party. He was in charge before Reince Priebus. Okay, just to give you an idea of who traditionally runs these parties, they are establishment politicians. They're part not of the Republican Party, but the Uniparty. 85% of Washington are not Republicans or Democrats. Maybe on paper they are, but behind closed doors, they are go-along-to-get-along politicians who are having their lives run by the lobbyists.
Money, 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 money.
That's who runs these parties. Here is Michael Steele telling you straight up, okay, Republicans should remember when it comes to Biden, they're not voting for a Democrat. They're voting for their country. That's a- what? In what world is voting for Biden voting for America? The guy who let 10 million people into the country, including hundreds of members of the terror watch list that we know of. Okay, the guy that led to a record level of inflation that is crippling low-income Americans and crushing the black community the hardest because the overcrowding in the classroom is now getting exponentially worse because of all the migrants coming across the border. You know, it's funny. I went out to dinner with two of my high school buddies this weekend. Me and Jenny went out with them and their wives. We went out with a bunch of Long Island people on Saturday night after my show. That's what we did.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
It is stupid because they got really, really rowdy. They were hammered. But my buddy, who is a school teacher on Long Island, says that he is getting four new students a week this year. Four new students a week that don't speak English.
But buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
You understand that? So four every week, his class gets a little more crowded by four students who don't speak English. Nothing against these kids. They're coming here to make a better life for themselves. But you understand how hard that is crushing the quality of education when you've got to slow down the class because you got four new students a week who don't speak English. Okay, and that comes as a detriment to the tax-paying citizens in this country who do pay taxes, who do have kids in class that do speak English, need an education, but aren't actually getting one because of these policies.
I love the poorly educated.
But here is Michael Steele telling you, no, you vote for Biden because you're voting for America. This is a guy who ran the Republican Party. Clip 20.
I get it with some Republicans who said, oh, I just can't vote for a Democrat. But this is not, you're voting for your country. You're not voting for a Democrat in this case. I have disagreements with Joe Biden on a number of policies.
Oh, there's we know.
Yeah, y'all know, right? And that's okay. But that's a good policy. That's good and healthy for our democracy to have those disagreements. Well, we're sitting here having conversations about a president with 91 federal counts against him. And people are scratching their head and wondering, oh, I don't know, you know, should I support him? Or says, as Simone just noted, he wants to be a dictator. And you go to, well, I'm still worried about the 81-year-old. We've got to shake ourselves out of that fog and understand what this is about. And I do get the idea that it's hard for some Republicans to go across the street. But, baby, you need to do it.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
So Michael Steele is going to say, he's going to say whatever he needs to say for a paycheck.
Money, 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 money.
And I can call somebody out to that because, believe me, I have gotten annihilated by this audience for saying things they don't expect a Fox News host to say.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Annihilated. If I don't take Trump's side, you guys will call him. Like, oh, what are the Trump? You know, I'm just calling balls and strikes. I don't care. Okay, I'm just, you know, for whatever amount of time this window of relevance is open in my life, I want to be able to look back on it and know that I executed my responsibilities in an honest fashion. There's nothing I take greater pride in than my Saturday night show being apolitical. We book a ton of liberals because I want to look back on my time as a relevant comedian as that of a relevant comedian. Instead of an activist that was trying to steer the way you voted by using comedy to manipulate sentiment, I don't want to be responsible for that. I want nothing to do with that. That's not my job. That's not what I came up on. I liked comedy because I grew up around a really funny family that told a lot of jokes. And when we had no money, we laughed, okay? When we thought we had money, we laughed. And then we went to the blackjack table and the money was gone again. And guess what? We still laughed. Whether we were losing it at the racetrack, whether we were losing it in the casino, or we were losing it at the sports book. Comedy's what I know. Comedy's what I've used to cope during times of great adversity. And I don't ever, ever want to look back on a moment in my life where the comedy was being used for anything other than entertainment and escapism from the torments of everyday life. So I am not a guy. I do not qualify as a guy who will say anything for a paycheck. Just don't fit under that umbrella. Okay, but Michael Steele is very much that guy. Because when he talks to you, about, oh, you're not just voting for Joe Biden, okay? You're voting for your country.
You don't have a clue.
Joe Biden is destroying this country, okay? 76% of Americans think we're headed in the wrong direction under Joe Biden. So unless you're an illegal migrant who's somehow been given the right to vote, in which case you are voting for your country. You're voting for Honduras because that's what Joe Biden's turning the place into. But when he starts to say, well, you got to cross the street, girl. You can't vote for Biden. You can't vote for Trump. He's a dictator, okay? Trump, are you ready for this? Trump did not fire anybody from their jobs because they didn't agree with his vaccine. Trump did not do that, did not fire cops, did not fire hospital workers, did not fire truckers, did not fire military veterans, did not fire frontline responders, okay, because they disagreed with his position on the vaccine. Joe Biden did.
Tell him like it is.
And Joe Biden, for the record, was wrong in his position the vaccine would block transmission. He also lied and said he would never mandate the vaccine in the first place.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory. But
perhaps.
Think about that. No, I wouldn't do it. No. Okay, it was Joe Biden that had people kicked off of Twitter if they disagreed with the regime's stance on anything. Literally anything. It was this White House that has now been outed for colluding with big tech executives to deplatform people who ran information counter to their narrative. Dictator stuff, straight up. Okay, so when Michael Steele says, ah, you know, you vote for Biden because you're voting for the country, I'm not sure he knows what country he lives in.
Bingo, man, bingo.
And I only bring that up because as a parent, the one issue I come back to over and over and over again is the southern border. Why? Because I have a school-age kid. I grew up in an era of recreational drug use. I knew a lot of people who did drugs. So did you if you grew up in the 80s and 90s. Lots of them. And yes, sadly, some of them overdosed. And the kids who overdosed on drugs in the 80s and 90s were kids that were taking drugs, okay, on the regular. One day took too many and sadly died. God rest their souls. But understand what we're dealing with now is not an overdose. It's a poisoning. In that kids are taking a recreational amount of drugs for the first time and dying because there's fentanyl crossing our southern border. It's manufactured in China. It's smuggled in through the Mexican drug cartels and the human traffickers, and it has killed a record level of Americans. So when somebody like Michael Steele's like, you got to vote for Biden because you're voting for the country, say that with a straight face to everybody who's lost a relative to fentanyl. Say that with a straight face to the tens of thousands of kids that are getting sex trafficked at our southern border. Say that to the face of Lake and Riley's family, a girl who was killed by a migrant with a violent arrest record who shouldn't have been in our country. Okay, tell them that, you know, you got to vote for Joe Biden. You're voting for your country. Maybe you are, but you're sure not voting for your family. But here is, you know, Donald Trump over the weekend. One of the biggest pushbacks against Trump is that he's used less than colorful language to describe some of the migrants crossing the border. And again, the media would rather concern you with Trump's language than the violent acts being perpetrated by these people, than the fact that Venezuela is emptying prisons and sending them to our country because they know they'll get in. Guys, that's not good for us. Okay, do you remember last week when Biden apologized to an illegal immigrant for using the term illegal? I shouldn't call the guy who killed Lake and Riley an illegal. You're right. You shouldn't call him illegal. You should call the guy a piece of shit. That's what you should call him. Legal normally. When it's someone's in the country illegally, yes, you call them an illegal because it demonstrates we are serious about acknowledging the problem. But if they come here illegally and kill somebody, call them a piece of shit. That's what you should call them. Okay, but here is Trump being asked by Howard Kurtz on Media Buzz about a lot of media criticism that's come his way. Media Buzz, of course, a Fox News program. Asking the tough questions of a Republican, because that's what we do on Fox. It's not pretend. Here it is, clip 16.
Our country is being poisoned. Look, we have, and we can be nice about it. We can talk about, I want to be politically correct. But we have people coming in from prisons and jails, long-term murderers, people with sentences that the rest of their lives they're going to spend in some jail in some country that many people have never even heard of. They're all being released into our country. These are murderers. These are people at the highest level of crime. And then you have mental institutions and insane asylums. I always say the difference is one is Silence of the Lamb. You know, it's a mental institution on steroids, okay?
So that's Trump talking about what's coming in at the southern border. Mental institutions, insane asylums, prisons being emptied.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Okay, stuff like that is happening. And it's exploiting our southern border, and it's Americans paying the cost. So when you hear the media say, oh, the Trump language on immigrants, that's the problem in this moment. No. What? Or Michael Steele, you vote for Biden because you're voting for the cunt. Do you get what's happening here? The reason Fox pops, the reason to some extent I have a little bit of relevance in this moment, is because we're real people talking about real stories that affect real people. If other countries empty their prisons and send them into our open border, we get the bill for this. Okay? And there's no language you can use that's going to make us okay with it. Okay? You get robbed by a migrant tomorrow, you're not going to call up the cops and say, now listen, before I file this report, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. These are undocumented people. No. You know what you're going to say? You're going to say, hey, some stole my wallet. Okay? That's what you're going to say. But that's the problem with what's going on in the country right now. We're fighting all the wrong battles. The people in the media class are more concerned with what you say than what you do. Because what Trump says is a problem. But what Biden says is destroying the country.
You're absolutely right.
It's the show that never hits the books.
I love the poorly educated.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Joe Conch is coming up in the next break. Ainsley Earhart going to be here as well. Co-host of Fox and Friends, a show I will be on tomorrow morning at 6:40 a.m. You can see me every Tuesday on Fox and Friends. Every Tuesday night on the Ingram Angle. Tomorrow night I'll be closing that show. We know Laura loves me.
What a fraud.
Oh, stop it. I stand by the claim. Of course, tonight I am on Gutfeld with our lovable comedy dwarf, Greg Gutfeld. So check that out at 10 o'clock. Mike Pence. Mike Pence, guy's been on the show a few times. Friday announced he will not be endorsing Donald Trump this time around.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
Now, I don't know that that's true, but it does make me think social media needs a button called Who Asked You? Because I don't know a lot in this world, but I do know nobody cares what Mike Pence says. Like, literally nobody.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, for real. And I'm not, that's not anti-Pence. I actually like Pence. I think he's a true old-school conservative. I am not mad at Pence for certifying the results of the election either. I'm not one of those people. Pence did what he had to do, and that's fine. Okay, but understand, they're trotting Mike Pence out because they need people to bash Trump. But what happened is the media got a little carried away over the weekend with this bloodbath claim. So Pence called it out when he was being interviewed by Margaret Brennan on Sunday. Clip three.
I woke up this morning seeing online all the discussion about bloodbath. And as you've just reflected, the president was clearly talking about the impact of imports devastating the American automotive industry.
Was so, that clear to you? Because it was
a
little muddled.
I think muddled. It was. But look, I want people to know, look, the president and I, it was very clear for 4 years, the president and I have different styles.
Did you hear her? Was that clear to you? Because it was a little muddied. I mean, come on.
What an idiot.
It was not muddied. I played you the full clip for a minute. All he doesn't ever talk about anything but the auto industry. It's not like he leaves for a second and goes to another subject. He just talks about the auto industry. If I get elected, I'm going to impose 100% tariffs on any Chinese vehicle built in Mexico to steal our jobs and then sell us a product. If I get elected, a 100% tariff. If I don't get elected, oh, it's going to be a bloodbath, you know, because the next administration won't do this. And then the media runs out with a straight face. He said he's going to kill everybody. My God.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
There it is, Fox Across America, with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla, the band, the house band, fired up, playing one of their top tunes to welcome the arrival of our next guest. It's kind of a big deal if you watch cable news. A multimedia superstar, a writer, a personality. You hear him on the radio. He really kind of does do it all. Joe Concha back on the show, and the crowd goes wild. Yo!
Somebody got the Venmo. Poured out of that introduction, baby, and $26 is yours, which gets you a salad at Fox News, apparently.
Fresh & Co. Yo, at Fresh & Co., $26 gets you a salad without a protein. If you want a protein.
Get some corn with it and be on your way.
My favorite thing in the world, Concha, so you've been there. Everyone not listening from around the country needs to know this. We have a salad place downstairs. It is not affiliated with Fox. It's just in the same breezeway that we enter through.
Yes.
And that salad company, every price is like, I'm not kidding. It's, you know, they offer financing, which is never a good sign. Never a good sign. But when you're paying for a $22 salad, as we do from time to time, doesn't it blow your mind when the guy's making it and he pulls out the magic marker and starts putting plus signs on it?
Yeah.
I'm like, haven't you added enough money to the cost of this meal?
Actually, I looked closely. They weren't even plus signs. It was multiplication. They were X's. 4 times 6. Get you guacamole.
It is. I always describe it as the scene in Vacation. Do you remember when Chevy Chase wrecks his car and he's there and he's like, how much I owe you? And the guy's like, how much you got? He's like, no, I asked how much you owe you, and I asked you how much you got. And then he goes, what does your sheriff think of your business practices? And the guy pulls out the badge and laughs at him.
He's actually the sheriff, yes.
that's Fresh & Co. I went there Monday. I bought a salad. They just showed me a picture of my family sleeping. And they were like, you'll pay what we tell you.
And the thing is, I mean, you say it's New York. You could go anywhere you want to get some. It's all the same.
It doesn't matter.
You ever get a drink at Del Frisco's?
Oh, it is, man. How about this for a segue? You go to Del Frisco's for a VIP.
Yes.
They pull out that register. It's a real bloodbath. Is it not? There it is.
We're pivoting.
Segways.
We're
morning
pivoting.
Radio
well
in the
done,
middle
transition
of the day. So crazy.
Wow.
But no, you're right about that. And we need to draw attention to the Midtown shakedown of anybody who wants to buy or drink anything. We're not wrong. We are champions of the little guy. We'd be right to spend as much time on this as we did. I only segue to the bloodbath thing because it made me laugh. And you know what it reminds me of? And now you take it away because you're the media expert, but this is what it reminds me of. Okay, so there is ostensibly, they're stumping for Biden. The media activists masquerading as journalists, they want Biden to win the election. Okay, so they're going to cheat their angles when it comes to Trump. It reminds me of, do you remember in Major League? When the old pitcher tells Charlie Sheen he puts snot on the ball because he doesn't have an arm like the young pitchers do and he's got to do whatever he can. Well, if you're a Biden surrogate, you got to put snot on the ball, you know, because the guy doesn't have an arm that you need him to.
I just watched that movie a couple of nights ago, and it really is incredible that somehow they won by an infield single by Wesley Snipes, who steals second by a hair, and then by a bunt from Behringer, right?
Tom Behringer.
Yeah, I wonder if that's ever happened in real life where – you scored a bunt from second.
I don't know, and I can't research it, because when you type in Major League, they cancel it because they were called the Indians.
Oh, right. That's true.
I don't even think you can Google Major League anymore.
True. But let me answer your question.
Yeah, give it to me.
All right. So you're precisely right. And the good news about this is that there was such blowback on social media. I mean, this was a watershed moment where you had Joe Scarborough, the MSNBC host, the guy who has already said in the span of a couple of weeks that if Donald Trump is reelected, he will execute opponents in his second term.
Shoot generals.
And shoot U.S. generals. Yes, exactly. So, and said this like on the air with like the wife just like nodding along. And I know Willie Geist somewhat. And like I just can't believe he could still sit there and actually listen to this and take this because he's somewhat sane, you know. So this is what he said. So then when Scarborough's going off yesterday and the whole bloodbath thing and echoing everybody else in the media, Elon Musk just jumps in and says, you know, this is a false narrative. And here's the context. Musk shares the full speech from Trump as far as the remarks are concerned when he's talking about auto workers and China and electric vehicle pushes and tariffs as far as China pushing cars through Mexico. It was actually a very valid argument. And what Trump ended with was, if we don't stop this, it's going to be a bloodbath for auto workers.
Yep.
But since he didn't add auto workers to the end, you're supposed to just then not believe that everything he was talking about, he didn't connect to bloodbath, right? So Scarborough says this and Elon Musk pushes back and something like, Jimmy, 58 million people view this tweet to the point where Scarborough deleted the tweet.
Yep.
He acquiesced. He threw up the white flag. So it's like, yes, that's a victory. We've leveled the playing field finally where they can't get away with this BS anymore as far as pushing a narrative. Everybody runs with it and there's no pushback outside of Fox. Now it's Fox, maybe a couple of handful of other little places, and now, thankfully, Elon Musk Twitter, because this narrative is getting eviscerated, at least down there anyway.
Well, that's what Elon Musk gave us, is the ability to throw the challenge flag.
Yeah.
And it didn't really exist on social media because the algorithm's pretty good about sweeping it right out of there. But you know what Scarborough just did on his show this morning? He deleted the tweet, but on his show, he went and stood by it because on his show, he knows there's going to be no pushback.
Right.
So he was like, yeah, I'll just forget this ever happened on Twitter. And he didn't talk about it on his show either because that's what it is. It's kind of like propaganda. I mean, it basically is propaganda to that point. But it really speaks to a desperation on their part, I think. Joe Concha is on the line, by the way. But it does. It speaks to a desperation on their part because if you're cheating the angles, okay, as you know, it's because they don't want to fight this thing on the merits. But here's my question for you. Do you think the average person has just become desensitized to media claims, if only because they've been wrong a lot in the past? Meaning Trump's words don't pop because they're kind of baked into the cake, but the media slander of Trump's words are also baked into the cake.
9 years we've been going through this. Remember, that was 9 years. I mean, boy, time flies. When Trump came down that escalator in June of 2015, right?
Wow.
And ever since then, it's been nonstop to the point where you get numbed by the whole thing. So you mentioned cheat the angles. That's exactly what's going on here, because if they got a run on inflation, whoops, not going to go well. Crime, whoops, not going to go well. Border, definitely not going to go well. Foreign policy, not going to go well. Education. I go down the line. Every major issue, the Biden campaign and Biden himself are vastly underwater. And Biden's not like a nice French Bordeaux. He's not going to get better with age. So they know that, you know, if they're trailing now, what's it going to look like on election day? So then they went the lawfare route and tried to jail Trump before the election, or at least get a conviction on him. And we saw with Fannie Willis down in Atlanta, that falls apart. We see Alvin Bragg, that trial just got delayed. The Jack Smith trials are getting delayed. And all of this is probably, if you listen to like smart people and sane people like Jonathan Turley, these trials are probably not going to happen until after election day. And then that's the whole ballgame. So now you're right. This is all they have. If it reeks of desperation, it's because it does reek, because it is desperate. And everybody's laughing about this today. Yeah. I say it has no impact whatsoever, because I'll share this one stat with you, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. The Hill, before the 2016 election, we looked at 59 newspapers in terms of who they endorsed, and 57 endorsed Hillary Clinton, and two was Trump, and they were like small papers. And that got Hillary Clinton a concession speech and a set of steak knives. In other words, it got her nothing. So no one listened, and they're not listening now, that's for sure.
Well, if third prize is you're fired, does that mean Gary Johnson was fired? He should have been.
Yeah, good point. Yes, you don't get the what was it, the Cadillac DeVille? What they give?
Yeah,
away
he didn't win the all expense paid trip to Aleppo.
Aleppo.
That was a good Gary Johnson callback.
I met him once. I swear.
So did I.
Really, green room?
Yes. Were we in the same green room at Fox? Were we there by chance? Because this is what happened. It was on Kennedy when I met him. Yeah. And he had come in to do Kennedy's show. It was right after the Aleppo, you know, mishap. And he was talking to us about how he should handle it in the media. And at first I thought we were small talking. And then I realized he was legitimately soliciting our advice. Mm. Not because he was an accessible candidate, but because he had no idea what he was doing. And I was like, oh, well, this was fun. Best
wow.
of luck in whatever you do next.
You know, I think about it. I picture now the green room in my head, and it's the one for Fox and Friends.
Yep.
So all I talked to him about, but it was a very light conversation, almost too light for, you mm-hmm. know, that time of day, that if he's the governor of New Mexico, or was the governor of New Mexico, what sports team do you root for?
Yeah.
Like, who do you gravitate towards? I mean, Texas is next door, so I guess yep. maybe someone over there. And it turned out to be the Broncos. So
really?
That's some information that you never heard before.
Joe Concha on the line giving us Gary Johnson trivia. I had a friend, I believe it was Rick Unger, who used to make the rounds on Fox from time to time.
Yeah.
He had colorfully described, he said Aleppo was the other Marx brother.
Oh, wow.
Never heard of him.
What he's happened to Rick?
Oldest. He's out there somewhere.
Speaking of cocktails.
Spending his Marvel money or whatever the hell he's doing.
That's right. He's got a place down in like in Mexico, and I think he's just
loaded
at this point.
People don't know this. Me and Concha, Joe Concha's on the line. We come across all kinds of fascinating figures during our time in media.
This is true.
From all kinds of fascinating tax brackets, just the same. And we laugh. But, yeah, Unger was a good one. But, you know, it's funny because he was doing something with Michael Steele for a moment. Michael Steele, former RNC chair, as you know, is over on MSNBC, just the same. Michael Steele had a bite that I played earlier, saying Republicans need to realize that the idea of voting for a Democrat might be unappealing, but don't think of Biden as voting for a Democrat. Think of it as voting for your country. And I was like, man, I'm sure MSNBC pays well. But that one almost... There's got to be a part of you that cries in the shower after saying a vote for Biden is a vote for your country. Even if you love Joe Biden, there's no way you could look at the state of this country and say you're voting for your country if you're voting for Joe Biden. How could you possibly twist that? I defy you. Joe Concha, in what world could he mean that in good faith?
Speaking of snot on the ball, that's exactly it.
That is snot on the ball. That is snot on the ball.
And the thing is, it was Bill Kristol, I think, who tweeted that out yesterday. Same thing. Like, you know, you should vote for Joe Biden if you have any morals and any values.
Yeah.
And my retweet of that was, I'm going to vote for whoever is best for my family.
Yeah.
Right. And even if I don't like some of the things Trump does, and I don't, quite frankly, mm-hmm. I think he goes overboard sometimes when if he was just apprentice Trump. You know, strong and steady, just a couple of words here and there, mm-hmm. cracks a joke, you know, sarcastically. I like that Trump, right?
Yeah.
Less is more for me.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, on policy, I mean, I think I'll have more money in my pocket if he gets elected. I'm pretty sure I'll feel safer walking around New York City or even my own community if mm-hmm. he's elected. And I'm sure the border is going to be closed the way it should be
yep.
if he's elected. And these wars overseas aren't going to go on forever at my dime. So if I agree with those four things, then I'm sorry. I'm going to do what's best for my family. And the whole thing, by the way, that if Joe Biden is the option, therefore, because he is a bastion of morals and values, you haven't been paying attention for the last 50 years. Jeez. Right?
Do you know I play bites on this show from 1987, where Carson is annihilating Biden for plagiarism and everything in between?
Oh, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Yeah, yeah, that old
That's
one.
That's what Biden 70 ended his campaign over plagiarism.
And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I have one from I have one from 84, where Carson and Ed are lamenting the fact that no one talks about issues anymore. They're just slandering their opponents. Let me. I'll play this for you, since you don't ever get to hear stuff like this.
Good producing.
Here, this is fantastic. This is a permanent audio clip of mine. So what I do is I isolate stuff, and we just keep it around because I find it entertaining, and I want it to be. Here's Carson. This is 84.
Nobody talks anymore about the issues.
No.
They simply just, this man is for toxic drinking water to kill your children. I mean,
But is that not what we're doing in politics? Whatever this is, 40 years later, that's a 40-year-old clip. If he felt like nobody talked about the issues 40 years ago, where are we now when they're trying to bloodbath their way out of a border situation? Or, excuse me, that was a tariff situation.
Yeah, that's a great point. No, we didn't. By the way, what Trump said about the tariffs, he said he would impose 100% tariff. You're like, whoa, that's the news.
That
right
should
there.
Be the news.
Yeah. No, we can't. It's all... This is all that fuels most of cable news, right?
Yep.
And what makes Fox different, and it's not because I'm on Fox and because you're on Fox, but we actually have a news division, like with respected people like Brett Baer, Martha McCallum, Bill Hemmer, Dana Perino, so on. MSNBC, think of who their election night anchors are, right?
Yeah.
It's Rachel Maddow, who works one day a week for 30 mil. Not a bad deal if you can get
Sweet
it.
Gig.
Yes, and then you have Joy Reid, right, the race lady, as one host on Fox used to call her. And then who else? Nicole Wallace, right?
And, yes.
And then Scarborough, you watch him in the morning, and I honestly, at this point, and I used to go on Joe's show years ago. I'm talking like 2003. It was called Scarborough Country. It was on in primetime, and I would walk off there thinking I had a completely normal conversation.
Yep.
Now, I can't tell the difference between him and Keith Opperman, and Opperman on Twitter just now was hoping, openly hoping for the assassination of Donald Trump. How he still has an account, I have zero idea, but that's basically, there's really no daylight at this point between Scarborough and Opperman. That's where we've been. That's where we've arrived at.
Wow. It's crazy to think, because I watch those Olbermann tweets, right? Does he mean it? Is he trolling? Like, what do you think it is? Because I don't think a lot of these people mean it. Like, I don't look at a guy like the Rick Wilsons of the world, the Lincoln Projects of the world.
Yeah.
I don't believe any of them mean it. I just believe, like, this is part of the business model now. It's that they're pro wrestling heels. Do you think Opperman means it, or do you think he's, like, half heel?
I think Keith has a lot of money, right, from ESPN, Fox Sports, MSNBC. There's some other networks I can't – they're not even around anymore, but I'm sure they paid him nicely to come work there. There was one Al Gore owned at one point, and they paid him a lot of money to come over. Right, so he doesn't need money at this point. Mm-hmm. But money means nothing to a guy like that because he's always basically had it, or he's had it long enough where he can't appreciate anything otherwise. What he wants is relevance. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody wants, right, ultimately. So he wants – and over here, see, I'm still here because he doesn't have a platform on TV anymore. So he says the most provocative thing possible. So guys like you and I are talking about this, and people are calling for him to be banned from Twitter. He just soaks that in because that's all he's got at this point, because no one sane would hire, not even MSNBC, would hire him, because I think he'd offered himself up at one point
funny.
Like a year or two ago.
Do you know how, like, when baseball players aren't getting signed anymore, they go play in Japan, and they're kind of relevant again? So Twitter is the Japan for American media figures that can't get hired. They go play a heel on Twitter and they become relevant again.
Yeah, you're Stefan Marbury, right? Like, I'll go play in China now. Didn't work out over here. Like, eight people listening know who that
Overman,
is. But no!
Overman, the Starberry sneakers. Remember Starberries?
Starberries, yeah. He was
Overman
a big deal.
Needs a sneaker line, a tank top, and he needs to go to Japan. I will support that.
Wow. Oh, I got a little tip for you, by the way.
Give it to me.
Go. Every underdog in the tournament.
Ooh.
Just go with every line. Doesn't matter. There's
such
parity now. There is no dominant team, maybe outside of UConn and Houston. But everybody else, everybody can beat anybody else.
Dude,
that's what I feel.
Listen, you just beat the shot clock because we were less than a minute from commercial break.
Yeah.
But as you know, if there's one thing that'll stop this radio rhino from charging, it's a gambling reference.
Oh, Jesus.
Because Jimmy has a problem. So you got me.
All right.
No, we're 39 seconds from break now. Concha, everything, this was epic because we covered it all. We took it to Japan. There were gambling tips. We even got into the salad shakedown at Fresh & Co.
A lot of snot.
Snot on the ball. I think what we're trying to say is you're welcome, America. I think that's what we're trying to say. Great stuff, man. I'll see you during the week.
They not up.
You're the best. The great Joe Concha. There he goes. There we go back after this.
The critics have spoken.
I really appreciate fine art.
You do?
Yes.
And this isn't it.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We were talking about Keith Olbermann. We have a minute to go in this hour. Don is on the line with a Keith Olbermann story. I just couldn't resist. Don, can we do this in a minute?
Absolutely. I'll shut it down. I was with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays in 98 and 99 working in PR. Mm-hmm. I knew everybody who was in the building from the press. Keith Olbermann went on a rant on air about what a crappy stadium the Trop was. Mm-hmm. And it was my job to promote it, of course. Mm-hmm. He was banned. He never set foot in the place. He was just taking it all secondhand, but he was just totally trashing the Tropicana Field.
What a dirtbag, yeah.
Yeah, so that goes back to 98.
Wow. Yes, he was a heel back then, too. That was his vibe.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who's ever worked with him considers him like the worst person who's ever lived. And that was
absolutely.
The irony, because on MSNBC, he used to do a segment called The Worst Person Alive. And everybody I know who worked for him was like, I assume he does this in front of a mirror every night, but I'm not sure.
Autobiographical.
Don, you beat the shot clock. Good job, brother. We will see Don down in Florida. You know we're going to be down there May 11th and May 12th. We're in Sarasota on the 11th. And then Mother's Day, the 12th, my mom will be there. How about that? Buckle up. Big hour coming up after this on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Is it ever? And we are fired up in this hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Audio safe space for cool people. We say that every day. Why? Because we kind of pride ourselves in being that one bug light, that one port in the storm, where people can agree to disagree. Doesn't really matter. It's America. You can just kind of call in and be a part of the thing. I believe the word we're looking for.
Freedom!
And that's kind of what we are, is a daily celebration of your unique American privilege. Privilege that allows you to agree to disagree, which is not common in our politics in this day and age. You tell them you disagree.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
But not us. We're not going to belt you in the mouth. That takes too much energy. I don't want to do that. I got to host a radio show. I got to host a TV show. I got to go on a stand-up tour. I got a wife who just thinks I'm a piece of meat, won't take her hands off me.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Nonstop, but marry a farm girl. It sounds great on paper, and it is for like the first 3 weeks. But after that, you're like, Jenny, come on, I'm a person. Let's just have a conversation. There's got to be more to me than just my body. But 888-788-9910, whether you agree or you disagree, in this hour, we're going to be talking to Ainsley Earhart, Fox and Friends co-host. You'll see me on Fox and Friends with her tomorrow morning. I'm on the show every Tuesday. And since we're pumping up my TV appearances tonight, I'm on Gutfeld at 10 o'clock. Myself and the king of late night, Greg Gutfeld. I mean, let's be very clear. I would not have a TV show were it not for the success of Gutfeld's TV show. Fox launched a comedy show called Gutfeld. It succeeded. It's spectacular success. And because of that, they have, you know, identified the need for more comedy on the platform. And so they expanded our reach in the comedy world by giving me a show as well, which is a big deal. So obviously I owe Greg that. And, you know, knowing you're going to follow in the footsteps of Greg Gutfeld would be pretty intimidating, except in his case, those footsteps are a size 3. Anyway, I'm talking about media figures. Why? Because Stephen A. Smith, somebody I get a kick out of. Me and Lincoln like Stephen A. Smith. We walk around the house impersonating Stephen A. Smith. That's something we do for jokes. Because Stephen A. Smith is very performative. That's kind of his character over on ESPN. And whenever you hear him on the radio, he's over-emoting. Like, I've met him. I've met him when he's on Hannity. Found him to be a splendid fella. Great guy to talk to in the green room. But he is very much a performer. When you put him on camera, he's giving you a lot of emotion. And I don't doubt that he genuinely feels that emotion. But the point is, me and Lincoln like to talk with what we consider to be disproportional emotion. So it's like, you know, Jenny makes tater tots. Like, how are you going to bring tater tots into the conversation? Man can't be having no tater tots right now going, we do stuff like that. We just make ourselves laugh. So anyway, that's the Stephen A. Smith thing. And I'm sorry if I caught some of you off guard and you swerved off the road, but that's what it's like to be a cab driver listening to Stephen A. Smith when he was on the radio here in New York City. And I say that with a hint of admiration and respect for everything he's accomplished. But in this moment, I'm giving him a shout out. Why? Because Stephen A. Smith, to his credit, as a very prominent voice in the black community, is starting to call an increasingly fairer fight when it comes to politics. He's not a Trump guy. He didn't love Trump. He's not a dyed-in-the-wheel. He's not gone like MAGA or anything like that. But like a lot of prominent black media figures, Charles Barkley comes to mind. Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson, Meek Mill, you know, Charlemagne. Guys are very much in positions of influence in mass media, and certainly the black community, are starting to acknowledge the ridiculousness of a lot of what's going on in this country. Charles Barkley, I played his clip pretty much every day this week, of saying he's always voted Democrat because the Democrats show up to the black community every year, every 4 years, pretend they care, say they're going to fix everything, and then they disappear for another 4 years.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Well, to be clear, that's how black folks did the black community too, because black unemployment went up under Barack Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
But the point is, Charles Barkley's starting to see through it. He didn't go on the air and say, I love Trump. He just went on the air and said what people have been saying on this show for a long time.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Totally. But the thing Stephen A. spoke to, which was of particular interest to me, was not just that the Democratic Party is failing black Americans, okay, but that they are weaponizing the legal system in an effort to railroad Trump out of reelection. He deserves credit for this because he's getting into the minutiae of what's happening in our country. Most people in sports talk about politics at a 30,000-foot view. Okay, generalities, racist, non-racist, stuff of that nature. Okay, the positive rhetoric, Trump's too divisive. I got to be honest with you. Trump uses some wild rhetoric, but he could never in a million lifetimes be remotely as divisive as the media is. Okay, the media will go out and say everybody who votes for Trump is a white supremacist. Trump will push back and be like, fake news. And the media will be like, he's attacking the media. He's destroying faith in institutions.
The media is a bunch of losers.
Totally. That's what they do. You know, Trump colluded with Russia, and then Trump calls BS. You're making it up. Fake Tapper, he'll call Jake Tapper. And the media will be like, look at this guy. He's calling us the enemy of the people. Well, you kind of are. The media meddled in the last election. The media said you couldn't share the Hunter Biden laptop story. Can't share it. This is it is Russian disinformation. You can't share this story. It would be tampering with our very democracy if you share this story. And the minute the election was over, every app that blocked you and every newspaper that published the you can't talk about this story all admitted the laptop was real.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Straight up. But understand this, okay? When you get into the minutiae of what's happening right now, okay, you don't hear a lot of sports commentators talking about lawfare. But that's exactly what Biden and the Democrats are doing. Understand, Fannie Willis, okay, and Nathan Wade are in a pretty hot and heavy physical relationship.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
And as we now know, they both lied under oath in that the relationship began 3 years before the investigation into Donald Trump. Why is that significant? Because they had a personal motivation to bring this investigation.
Correctamundo!
Okay, it was that the taxpayer dime was going to subsidize their get-togethers. Nathan Wade, okay, made $650,000, despite the fact that he had never tried a felony. State law mandates that he couldn't make more than $400,000 off the taxpayer for an investigation of this nature. He somehow wound up making $650,000.
He should be behind bars!
I'm saying. But apparently, wherever he's behind, he's pretty good at being there. But let's talk about this for a second, because Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis went to the White House and met with the White House before this investigation was launched. Letitia James ran for attorney general here in New York State on the vow to arrest and imprison Donald Trump. Alvin Bragg did to a lesser extent. Every one of these people ran for office on I'll get Trump. So when you see them physically trying to get Trump post-election, it very much looks like
this is politics as usual.
And it ultimately undermines faith in our judicial system. So Stephen A. Smith, to his credit, calls this out. I want Stephen A. Smith to get that credit from me on this show because I want to be a show that praises people in the media, whether I agree with them or not, because we should be able to operate on an a la carte basis. Stephen A. Smith might say something tomorrow. I might call him an a-hole, but he said something today I agree with. And here is that agreement. This is clip 34.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to get into. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to simply say this. Trump is kicking the Democrats, you know what? 91 charges. Four indictments, 91 counts against him. He's been impeached twice. And he still ran away with the GOP nomination. It was a cakewalk. You can't touch him. And now he's throwing this salvo. He said, yo, why don't you come beat me? Stop engaging in lawfare and using the legal system to push your political agenda. Come beat me. That's what he did. I do sports most of the time. That's the kind of language we want to hear, ain't it?
I admire your honesty.
And you can hear the performative emotion. That's kind of the signature thing. He over-emotes. He's not nearly as fired up as he sells you in his clips, but that makes him good at what he does. He's a performer. Like, I try to tell you jokes and entertain you. He tries to get you worked up emotionally. But he's a great entertainer. And he's being honest if you're a sports fan. You know, the whole to be the man, you got to beat the man. You settle it in the ring. That's what Trump is asking for. That's what the voters are asking for. They don't want him removed from the ballot. But why do the Democrats, why does Joe Biden support removing him from the ballot?
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
They're in a really desperate spot right now. They're in a really, really desperate spot. That's why this show kicked off today with our analysis of the media trying to claim that Trump promised a bloodbath if he didn't get elected.
Wrong.
The full context of what Trump said, it's a minute long. I'll play it for you just so you're in the loop. Clip one.
You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it, went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal. Those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars.
Now, the media said Trump just promised that if he doesn't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath. Everyone's going to die.
You can't just make up lies about people.
But they had to make up lies because they can't have this conversation on the merits. Okay, here is really quick clip five. This is Mary Bruce on World News Tonight opening her show claiming Trump called for a bloodbath.
We begin tonight with the race for the White House and former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. President Biden's campaign swiftly denouncing those comments as threats of political violence.
I mean, dude, come on, Mary.
What the hell were you thinking?
They were thinking because there was a manufactured hysteria around Donald Trump. This is what Stephen A. is speaking to. This manufactured hysteria in their brains justifies unconventional attack against Trump because the media wants you to believe he called for a bloodbath. I just played you the full clip. He didn't say everyone's going to get killed if I don't win the election. But they're running with that anyway because this is how they've always approached Trump. Just to give you an example, okay, Trump using the word bloodbath to describe an economic situation, as far as they're concerned, is a call to violence. Okay, but here is the media laying out the violence. This is, I just want you to understand, this isn't the first time they've done this. Here is the media's take on the violence Trump will commit if he is reelected. Listen to this. This is clip 11.
What would a second Donald Trump term look like?
Well, he cannot be the next president. Because if he is,
you can't imagine the things that he's going to do. Mexico, Canada, we can't go to Canada because eventually Canada will become annexed to America
and shoot visitors to the White House.
Yeah,
that means he can shoot the First Lady.
We're going to see violence the likes of which we didn't even see on January 6th.
Make it illegal to run against him, to throw his opponents in jail, to shut down the media.
He will make himself into the Fuhrer, and he will make everybody raise their hand and salute him.
Using martial law against the American people.
Terminate the Constitution.
To rewrite the Constitution.
Create mass internment camps.
Throw everyone into Gitmo.
Might be sent to jail, or their rights might be suppressed. Especially minority groups in society.
You might have any number of things happen to you and your family.
Every one of us, our freedom, our liberty, none of us is safe.
He's going to have people around him executing against an enemy's list.
Assassinate generals.
Ordering troops to attack American citizens.
Trump's very well-armed and extremist base will try to kill people.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
His very well armed and extremist base will try to kill people. But you understand that's not an honest conversation. And when you ask yourself, why aren't they having an honest conversation? It's because the truth doesn't favor them. An honest conversation is, hey, is the country better off now than it was 4 years ago? According to polling, 76% of the country thinks we're headed in the wrong direction. So to answer that question, no, the country is not in a better place than it was 4 years ago. But it doesn't mean they don't want to retain their grip on power. So they'll do anything, whether it's distorting Trump's rhetoric or just trying to imprison the man, if that's what it's going to take. Stephen A. Smith, to his credit, calls this one out. And I want him to get the praise he is due, because most people in the media won't acknowledge something like that because it looks like a political liability. So I want to amplify his comments, if because no other reason, I'm comedian. And the idea of Stephen A. Smith now getting called a white supremacist because he turned up for Trump is actually pretty funny. And that's exactly where this is headed, because we have a bunch of activists masquerading as journalists. And the gig is up because no one's falling for it anymore.
You're listening to the most addictive show on the radio.
This is crack rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failo.
Such a silly day on the radio. President Joe Biden marked St. Patrick's Day yesterday by speaking at the White House.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did, and he had a little bit of a Jeb Bush moment in telling the people to clap because nobody did. Clip 18.
Our economic partnership has grown tremendously in both directions, I might add. Ireland now is one of the top 10 investors in the United States economy. And our country stand proudly for liberty and against tyranny. We stand together and oppose Russia's brutal war of aggression in Ukraine. You can clap for that, please.
Biden is such a disaster.
That was the president. They clapped because he told them to. But do you notice they weren't going to clap? Do you want to know why? Because none of them care about Ukraine. I'm not telling you we're pro-Putin and we want him to trample Europe. I'm telling you that if you polled a country where 76% of Americans think we're headed in the wrong direction and 10 million people have just crossed our own southern border illegally, it's really hard to get people fired up about paying to secure other people's borders.
That's true. That is true.
Never mind that it's St. Patrick's Day. And you're there to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and you start talking about their investment in the war in Ukraine.
Get them out of here. Get them out.
This is who they are. Their priorities aren't your priorities. Do you know what everybody's priorities are in St. Patrick's Day? Pretty much everybody that's celebrating. I've got a lot of Irish in my family. Their priority is to get to the bar as soon as possible. You stop everybody on the way to the bar and you're like, hey, can you give some of the beer money to Ukraine?
The answer would be no.
No, the answer would be no. Nobody cares. But that's why you're demanding people clap, because if you didn't demand it, they wouldn't do it.
He knows what he's talking about.
Damn right I do. And I'm not even particularly intelligent, but you don't have to be an expert to realize that
Biden sucks.
You talk about a big win for the American people. Okay. My next guest coming to the show, just a fan favorite on this show and every show. She is one of the hosts of Fox and Friends. And now we're about to get more of her on Fox Nation. Oh, they're excited. They're doing the wave, and for good reason. Ainsley Earhart is back on the show. Hey, girl.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
The crowd's going wild. We just released Doves. The confetti cannons went off. It's a big deal to have you on the show, as you know.
How much did you pay them?
Have you seen the budget for the show? They'd be lucky if they got a coffee in the green room, Ainsley Earhart. Good for you.
You're doing great. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun, except we had some guy, Sean Hannity, on my Saturday night show. That was a little wild.
Oh, who's that guy?
Who the heck? What were they thinking? Right? I kid. But, you know, one of these days, by the way, you have to come do that show. We owe that to the American people.
I would love to do that.
Oh, okay. That matters. All right. We have that on record, Mikey. Did you record her saying that? We will use this. We will use this in negotiations.
Are you having fun? I love your show.
Oh, thank you for that. We're having the best time. And, you know, like me and you, whenever we do TV together, it starts before we're on the air. We're usually laughing the whole time, sitting in the chair having a good time.
I know.
But that's what I'm trying to do on my Saturday show, is just spill the good time into everybody's living room. And so far, it's working. So we're very thankful
for good.
That.
You were on last week with me, and we were so excited during the break before we were on air. And it was the story about the couple that invited people to their wedding and asked them to pay their way.
Yeah.
In lieu of gifts. I love it when we get a good topic like that, because I want to hear what you have to say. And you said, then we were on with the grandmother who took the kids to Disney World, and the parents went to Mexico for a trip, left the kids with the grandmother, and the grandmother got in trouble with the parents because they said, you stole one of our kids first. And you made the funniest comment. You said, wait a minute, she didn't take them to Disney World. She took them to Epcot. That was her first mistake. Those kids are going to hate her for the rest of her life.
Yeah. She shouldn't be apologizing to the mom. She should be apologizing to the kids. No kid wants to go to Epcot. And you know that. But that's that's the kind of TV magic we make. Well, your new series on Fox Nation is a behind the scenes on the hits special, The Chosen. Really fascinating stuff. Do you have 2 seconds for me to play a clip for the audience? Because I just want them to get the full context of this. Josh, you've got it in there. It is clip 35.
I even hear people say to me, just personally, because my character, Andrew, deals with a lot of anxiety, and people have come up to me and said, I saw myself in that. I saw my worry, my fear, and I saw the struggle and how it's not, you know, there's no just press the button and everything's okay now. It doesn't quite work like that. And I think it allows people to give themselves permission to feel the way they're feeling, but feel connected in others in the fact that there is hope and that it gets better. And so to me, that's been one of the best things about it.
Well, this is what I wanted to bring up, Ainsley. The Chosen, okay, for all of its, you know, biblical connotations and everything in between, what it really is a message of hope, is what I really deduced from watching what I've watched so far. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. We interviewed Noah James, who plays Andrew, one of Jesus's disciples, and Kathleen Warnock, who at the time when she saw the pilot, she was working for MGM with Mark and Roma, and she came across this on her desk, and she said, usually you watch a few minutes of it, if even that, and you know if it's going to be a hit or if it's not. And she said she watched the entire pilot. Wow. And she said to Mark and Roma, we have to get this pilot. And it was already taken by Angel Network at that point. Mm. So now she is the executive director of content. She's working on the show. She was an awesome person. She's a strong Christian, became a Christian really at 20 years old in a black church. And she said she was an athlete. She was, you know, she has fair skin and blonde hair, and she met Jesus in a black church. So her story was really touching. And then Noah is Jewish. Mm-hmm. And I watched, to prepare for interviewing them, I watched a lot of clips, and I've seen The Chosen, which touched my life, touched my daughter's life, mm-hmm. my whole family's life. And Noah said his father was from Israel, and when he had to play certain scenes of the tax collectors taking mm-hmm. tax money from Simon, his brother, one yep. of the disciples, and they had a conversation. And he said, how am I going to afford this? These taxes keep going up. I can't pay my taxes. Now I have to pay interest. And at that point, the guy I interviewed, Noah, who mm-hmm. plays Andrew, had met Jesus. And he said, I've met the Lamb. He's going to save you. He's going to save us and fix all of this. And I've seen him perform miracles. So the story is so interesting. And he said, when I was standing there in that scene, it reminded me of my ancestors from Israel who had to pay taxes to the Romans and the struggles that they went through. Mm-hmm. And he could connect to that character. But he is so funny, and he has a great personality. Kathleen is just wonderful and so kind. And she talked about her life living in Hollywood and working in TV and having her – she has a set of twins, and then she has another child, talking to those children. And they said, Mom, you're – you know, something to the effect of, you're pretty cool. You work in Hollywood. And she said, you know, I'm just so blessed that God plucked me out. She said, I was a teacher, mm-hmm. a high school teacher, and somehow I'm not trained to do this, but somehow I ended up in Hollywood and I'm producing the show. The first season, $11 million was raised. Mm-hmm. And then for the last season, $100 million was raised. So wow. They're touching people all around the world of all ages.
That's really wild stuff. Ainsley Earhart is on the line. We are talking about her Fox Nation special, The Chosen, Behind the Scenes. Of course, The Chosen, as well as The Passion of the Christ, both available now on Fox Nation for Easter. And you can see Ainsley in Behind the Scenes on The Chosen. Listen, one of the greatest blessings ever bestowed upon either of us is the right to reach as many people as we do on the media platform we have to work on. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we both have such an affinity for the people who try to use their media reach for good. You know, mm-hmm. because more than ever, I think we need that, because what's happening is most of us here in this country, and I mean most of us, like the vast majority of us, do want the same things in our personal everyday lives, maybe not our political mm-hmm. lives. But I mm-hmm. think when you get back to that positive message and you get back to that place of everybody calm down and just have fun, I think we're mm-hmm. still capable as a country of making great progress. I just think we need these reminders, like what you'll see in The Chosen, that we've got bigger fish to fry than arguing over politics. No.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Funny you say that. There's a scene that we air, the feeding of the 5,000, and mm-hmm. you have the loaves of bread and the few fish, uh-huh. and they have to feed so many people. They talked about that scene, yeah. how many people came to Texas to film that, to be extras in that scene. Mm-hmm. And they talk about what I love about this show mm-hmm. is if you read the Bible, and I'm reading the Bible right now, I got in January 1st, I started reading the Bible in a year. Mm-hmm. And I'm not perfect at this because I've fallen behind a little bit. I'm about a few weeks behind, so I'm trying to do two.
Well, you got a lot of books. You're on Fox and Friends. There's a new book coming out every morning.
Well,
I get it. I feel you.
I know. But what I love about The Chosen, and we have season 1, 2, and 3 on Fox Nation. Season 4 is in theaters, and they announced that they're extending the run, and you can binge it over Easter with your family in theaters. But what I love about it is it shows you an in-depth picture of what they think the disciples' lives were really like. Like, for instance, Simon is following Jesus, and he's out with his brothers, and they've been out, they've been preaching the gospel, they've been traveling, they have not been home in months or weeks or whatever it was. And Simon comes home, and he has this beautiful wife. Her name's Eden, and she's I just loved her character in The Chosen. But he comes home, and she greets him, and they're kissing, and he's like, I'm so glad to be home. It's been so long. I just need tonight to be ours. And they're married, and, you know, he's so excited to be home for the first time in a long time. And then there's a knock at the door, and it's the disciples saying, I heard you have beds and you have food. Can you feed us tonight? And his wife is so dear, and she says, of course, come in. And he's mad at all of his friends because they're ruining his romantic night. So I thought, and I asked him about that, and he said, you know, the disciples, you know, they cussed like sailors. They were fishermen. They weren't educated. They argued. They had egos. And you see yourself in these stories.
Yeah.
So, and he said people of all faiths are watching this. I mean, in fact, he's, you know, he's Jewish. He's telling the life of Jesus. But it is a remarkable series. If you haven't seen it, I encourage people to go watch it. It will change your life. It'll show you a man that gave up everything, sacrificed everything because he loves all of us. And we're all just trying to fight through this crazy world with politics and so much division. Yep. But when you watch this, you have such hope for the future. And season 6 is going to be the crucifixion. And they said that that season is going to be family friendly because as much as I love Passion of the Christ, I don't think I would show that to my 8-year-old right now.
Yeah, it's heavy.
But it will be family friendly, which is wonderful too. My daughter loves watching this show with me. There's a scene of all the kids and they meet Jesus and he's so sweet with them. And Jonathan Roumie plays Jesus, and we've interviewed him. You probably know him.
Yep.
Mark Wahlberg from, I know I'm running out of time. But
no, you're not.
Anyway.
You're Ainsley. Okay, you got as much time as you want.
Well, Jonathan plays such a beautiful Jesus. It's like a big hug.
I just
envision that Jesus is very similar to that. And I think God created him to play this role.
No, it's incredible. And that's and it's such a great energy to be around, you know, during Easter. So I think it's a home run. I'm excited.
Thank you.
And this is all good stuff. And it's at a time in the country where we need it. So listen, there's never a bad time for more Ainsley, as I always say. Okay, but if ever the American people needed some bonus Ainsley, I would say this is the year because it's about to get.
They're listening to your show.
Listen,
we need more Jimmy.
Stop it. They're listening to my show. The only thing that caught their attention was Jesus making all that wine because they need to drink after listening to my show. But
there
I'll
will
take
be
it.
A lot consumed this Easter.
You better believe it. Ainsley, you're the coolest, and I will send everybody to Fox Nation to check you out. I'll see you tomorrow.
I appreciate it.
You're the
best. Thank you. See you tomorrow. Okay,
the best.
Bye.
The great Ainsley Earhart. Not a sweeter person in all of the media. And I do mean that. My week in media peaks usually on a Tuesday morning on Fox and Friends because I'll run into her during commercial breaks and we just have the silliest conversation you could ever have. Let me tell you how it works to be me, okay? Because every one of these people who interviews you on a show, okay, you're with them off camera before you're on camera. When I'm on with Waters, straight up, it's really funny. Me and Waters are basically telling 10 minutes of off-color jokes before we go live so we don't wind up accidentally saying them on the air. We're not worried about him. He has a lot more formal broadcast training than I am. That's generally a discussion he has probably for my own self-preservation instincts. Me and Gutfeld, I'm usually trying to guess if I can think of which terrible band he is forcing on his studio audience. People show up to see Gutfeld from all over America. They think they're going to hear like classic rock, and then it's like some Cambodian death metal band that nobody's ever heard of, and Greg is headbanging during the commercial breaks, and I'm basically playing a game of what the f*** is this? Okay, but Ainsley would be funny. Martha, funny. Martha cracks me up. Hemmer and Perino, funny. And we're usually talking about politics, though. It's like it's funny in like a high-minded political way because they're so immersed in news content. Funny, you know. But most of the shows I go on, when I go on with Hannity during the break, if I'm on Sean's live show, it's actually he'll talk to the audience about me used to being a cab driver and then give this speech about how I better not suck. And then we throw footballs and it's really funny. And I said this to Sean on my show Saturday night. As a former New York City cab driver who listened to Sean Hannity in a taxi for 3 hours a day, the idea that I now get on his TV show and also scalp tickets to his TV show without telling him, amazing to me. And I'll never be able to wrap my brain around it. But all of these experiences are all unique in their own way because every one of these people at Fox has their own unique energy because they're real people. That's the hook of what we do. It's the reason we're winning. When you go, if you do watch The Chosen and you hear what Ainsley was saying when it comes to the disciples, they were real people, very flawed, fishermen, mildly educated, a lot of foul language. Okay, that's who was rolling with Jesus. Jesus did not show up and go, hey, I'm perfect. And so is everybody around me. He did the opposite. Okay, they were here to atone in a lot of ways. And, I'm the furthest thing from Jesus. I told you, I know a guy named Jesus who sells stolen flat-screen TVs in the Bronx. Okay, but I can appreciate the shared humanity in all of this, which is why I would go tell you to check out The Chosen. And, you know, let's be honest, it would never hurt. Nowhere in the world is there a man who would be worse off for spending an extra 30 minutes with Ainsley Earhart.
He knows what he's talking about.
Tackling issues of the day in an easy way.
He's all man. He's a big, strong-looking guy.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. How about some breaking news? I got a kick out of this. So you might have heard Fox News has a very successful Saturday night TV show. It's called Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
I might be dumb, but it's a successful TV show. So much so that CNN has just bought the rights to Bill Maher's HBO show. And they're going to try to air his show up against mine.
CNN is the worst.
Oh, I know, but I think that's amazing. I actually like Bill Maher. I respect him a great deal. I think he's a fantastic political comedian, which will make it extra special to kick his ass in the ratings.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Now, he certainly has a 30-year head start when it comes to name recognition, but we're obviously, I mean, way ahead of him when it comes to talent.
That is a fact check false.
All right, fair. But we're a little bit ahead of him when it comes to talent.
That is a fact check false.
All right. This goes on for a while, but the point is, bring it on. We love this, and it's amazing because I said this when we launched the show. Television is a copycat industry, and when something succeeds, other networks often emulate it. It's one of the reasons why I say my show is apolitical and super fair, and that we book a lot of liberals and we generally almost avoid politics because I just want people to have a place to unplug. Well, ultimately, I told everyone who interviewed me, whether it was Forbes magazine or any of these big crazy publications that have, you know, Hollywood Reporter, anybody that's talked about me, I've said, hey, we want this show to kind of be a port in the storm, and it's my hope that the show will succeed on a level that will inspire other networks to mimic the vibe of the show. That's my hope. I am hoping, and apparently I'm hoping correctly, or at least successfully anyway, that people are going to start to emulate this business model. Did I expect it to happen in 2 months? Actually, I did because I'm crazy, but I don't think anybody else did. But it's amazing to see CNN going in this direction of trying to sell the American people on the idea that they're just trying to lower the temperature, too.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
No, they are not. But it's fascinating to watch that go on. And it's only a matter of time before somebody tries to repurpose John Oliver's self-righteous snarkathon. There's a big market in America to get yelled at by people with British accents. That's what we've learned from the success of John Oliver, who is about as funny as an orphanage on fire on Christmas Day with no survivors. But honestly, I still like to see networks going in this direction. If MSNBC can lap up John Oliver and we can kick his ass too, or maybe they win. Maybe I come in third. Either way, if America spends its Saturday night laughing, we're all better off for it. For real, that's what I want to be. That's what I want my contribution to be to the media landscape. I'm happy with everything I get to do, TV and radio and comedy and everything else. But in terms of what I get to give to the world, because I do think in those terms because I'm stupid and crazy, and instead of just like buying a bunch of nice cars and, you know, bottoming out.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women.
Well, they were, and then I met Jenny Failla, and then I couldn't afford the fast cars, and I learned to like decent women. And Jenny's not bad either. I kid. But the show's over. Pay up, get out. Congratulations to Bill Maher. I will see you in the ratings arena. And the rest of you, I will see tonight, 10 p.m. on Gutfeld with Greg Gutfeld. We're doing the damn thing, getting the band back together. Go watch it. Don't watch it. Either way, be a Republican, be a Democrat, be a Libertarian. Just don't be a...
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.